If you want, let's be looking at the book of Philippians for just a moment. This time of year, of course, oftentimes for me, I think back on a year of what we've done, what we've accomplished, and certainly much good, and certainly much to be thankful for, even as a family here at this congregation, as we survey the last year and then begin thinking about a new year that lies before us. And I think about our theme this past year, the very idea of serving our generation and looking back and certainly recognizing that we need to be a light and an example to others that are around us. We have the opportunity to influence many. And so that was a great study through the year, and certainly want to continue that thought always in our lives. But the challenge that came to me as I thought for this topic tonight was looking at the idea of asking not what the new year will hold for me, but what will I do with it? I'm afraid too often we look and we say, well, I wonder what's going to happen to me. And we look only at life as whatever is thrown at us. We have no choice. We have no options. It just is what it is. And yet we need to stop and realize that's not a very biblical approach to life. Yes, things happen. But it's much more important, what do I do with the things that happen? How do I respond to circumstances that are around me? How do I deal with challenges that are placed before me? How do I deal with great opportunities that are placed before me? And so I thought about the book of Philippians, and pick on Brian, but strap on your seatbelts for a minute. I'm going to try to hit these very quickly, very little commentary, as much as I can. But think about some charges that I think would be good for us to consider as we look into new opportunities before us. Philippians chapter 1, be thankful for one another and abound in love. Look at verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, even as we do for the families and members here and those that we know and love. He drops down into verse 9 and he says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Abound in the good things that you have developed in your life. Keep growing in them. Let's abound in love one to another and be thankful. Drop down into chapter 1 and verse 18 through 21. We won't read all of that, but the idea there of magnifying Christ in our lives. Have that determination that says, whatever I do and whatever happens to me, I want Christ to be magnified. Verse 20, according as my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Come what may, let me magnify Christ. Let us, number 3, stand fast together, strive together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 27, let your conversation, your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. You live as a Christian. Whether I come and see you or else am absent, doesn't matter if I'm there or not. I want to hear of your affairs, how things are going. And I want to hear that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind and that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Keep laboring together in the gospel as we strive to do even here in this congregation. You move into chapter 2. Have selfless love, even as did Christ. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's exactly what he showed us. It's exactly how he lived. Strive to imitate that in our life. Drop down to verse 14. There, the idea of holding fast the word of life, that you may be lights in the world. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The darker the world is, the brighter the Christian light can shine. You let yours shine forth, holding forth, verse 16, the word of life. I think from what I understand, the New King James probably gets that a little closer, holding fast. You cling to the Word of God and you let that shine forth in your life. What about pressing towards a goal? Chapter 3, not getting distracted by the things of this life and the things that even maybe are behind us. We have new opportunities, new blessings, new things to stretch on to. And so chapter 3, verse 13, I count not myself to have yet apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. What about follow good examples? Drop down verse 17, same chapter. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. There's bad examples and there are good examples. You seek out those good examples, those good things that we want to imitate and follow after them. Stand fast in the Lord. Speaks all for itself. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Don't let us be shaken. As you do so, drop down to verse 4. One of the most familiar verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Keep on rejoicing. We have much to be thankful for, much to be joyful for as we continue in our service to God. Continue with prayer and thanksgiving, verse 6 and 7. Careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What about meditate on good things? Let's watch what we fill our minds with. And brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill our minds with those good spiritual thoughts. And, verse 9, do them. Do good. The Nike slogan, just do it. Things difficult at times, things are hard, they're not always easy, do it. Keep on. And so he says there in verse 9, those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. And then finally, the very idea that we contentedly face all things with Christ Jesus. Whatever happens. New year, new opportunities, new blessings, but new challenges. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, let's determine to do all that we can do for the cause of Christ. And so in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Whatever the challenges and whatever the joys, I want to keep on serving God. I know it's quick. Go home and read the whole book. But what a great challenge. What a great mindset to set before yourself. No, I don't know what's going to happen. But I have a mindset that I ought to be focused on that then allows me to face the good times and the bad times of life and continue to be faithful to God. And that's what we want for each and every single one of you in the new year. Thank you.
One of the, to me at least, one of the really encouraging things that you can find in the Old Testament book comes to us from the book of Joshua. Now I want to turn your Bible to the book of Joshua. In chapter 1, we're just going to make a few quick points, then we're going to move on from that. But I want you to notice something. In Joshua chapter 1, not once, not twice, but three times, Joshua is exhorted to do something. Be of courage, strong courage. He's told in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And finally in verse 9, notice what he says here. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you stop and think about that for just a moment, there's a reason why Joshua was going to have this charge put upon him. Moses is off the scene. It's now Joshua's turn. And they are going to go in and they're going to have to do some tough work. they're going to have to displace nations. We read about Jericho and the fall of those walls. We see the first failure that at Ai, and then we see the victory at Ai. You get to chapter 12, and you begin to look at some of the kings that Joshua and the people deposed. Then here's where I want us to go, is in chapter 14. Chapter 14 opens up by saying, these are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. They had great challenges before them, and I thought it was really interesting the way that Ryan started out. We don't know what comes up in the upcoming year. There could be a lot of great things, good things happen to us in our mind's eye. Well, that's a good thing that happened. There could also be some very challenging and difficult things that come our way. We need to have the same heart and the same mindset as we go into the new year. And that of be strong and of good courage. Why? Because we have a God who is more than capable of being on our side and will be on our side. So as we look at this, because you stop and think about it, the next Wednesday that we meet will be 2025. So we have one last Lord's Day, this coming Sunday in 2024. We need to have our sights set on 2025. We need to have that mind that says, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to be that person who's going to be strong and of good courage. Now, let's continue to read very quickly through this. And I'll make a few comments here and there. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them, for the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land except the cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock and their property. And as the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know, now listen carefully, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. When I stop and think about Caleb here for just a moment, 40 years old, he goes in to spy out the land of Canaan. He comes back with that good report. And what I see here is, as was in my heart. I think we see here a man that had a heart for God. He had a mind that said, I'm going to go in because God said we're going to possess it. He had his eyes open to look at that possibility, and he accepted the possibility. It wasn't like the other spies who came back and said, oh, we're just like little grasshoppers in front of people. These are big people. Their cities are mighty. We can't do this. That wasn't Caleb's attitude, was it? His attitude was a whole lot different. We are well able to possess that land. We can do this. Why? Because God had promised. Well, you know what? We are a people who serve a God who has made some promises to us. God doesn't lie. In fact, it is impossible for God to lie. But notice what we see here. Not only did he have a heart for God, I think about David, by the way. You think about what is said in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Saul is being told, your kingdom is being taken away from you because God, the Lord, had sought a man after his own heart. Well, we know that David was that man because you can go over to Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 and learn that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, here we have Caleb, the same kind of mindset, the same kind of heart But notice verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." This upcoming year, let's look to have that mindset. We are going to wholly follow our God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot was has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord, your Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive." This is Caleb talking here. "He's kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old." 85 years old. Caleb hadn't quit being a man of God. Caleb had not been a man, had stopped being a man who followed the Lord. Well, you know what? I don't care if we reach 105. We have a responsibility to continue to follow God, be people after God's own heart. If he can do it at 85, I can do it. And I think I'm looking out now, with the exception of maybe one person over here. I'm the oldest person here. We can keep doing this. We can keep being faithful to God. He was. Now notice verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain in which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now stop and think about that. How many times did we read there? The idea that he followed the Lord. He had a heart for God. We can do this. Let's look at 2025. Not as something that we can't accomplish, but as something that we can conquer as Christians. As a people of God here at 9th and Main. Let's have that heart and that mind that says, no matter what life throws at us. And again, it's kind of strange that the gist of what Ryan's was kind of was the gist of mine. It doesn't matter what comes tomorrow. We're going to be people of God. Let's stay firm to that.
I really do want to say on behalf of the eldership, we're grateful that you've come out on what is known as Christmas Day. And we realize that a lot of distractions in the world take place this time of year. It's a great time for some. It's a hard time for others. A lot of things can be difficult because of the pressures of society to buy gifts and things of that nature. And so I don't know, but what I do know is that coming together and singing songs and listening to God's word, there's nothing better than that, and that doesn't cost us anything except a little time to come spend some time together. And I was looking forward to this today. Again, some might have looked at this as a distraction because it was on a Wednesday, and I have to step aside and go be with my family in Christ. I want to look at a passage or two with you in the book of Galatians and then the book of Jude, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ryan, who's going to give us some announcements, and he'll close us out with a closing prayer. I do want to say to our visitors, we're glad that you've come to be with us. We really appreciate that. The book of Galatians in chapter 3, the very end of the chapter, we learn how to become joint heirs with Christ, with God, the Father, through his Son. In verses 26 through 29, the very last four verses of Galatians chapter 3, We're reminded that we're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and he explains the methodology. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and through that there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, or slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, notice verse 29, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now that's important, that last phrase there, heirs according to the promise. That requires you to have a little bit of an understanding of what the entire Bible is all about. And that entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about the fulfillment of that last statement, heirs according to the promise. We've been waiting on that promise since the day Adam and Eve sinned, and God told Adam and Eve in the very beginning in the garden that the seed of woman would bruise the head of Satan. And that event takes place on the cross. When Christ is on the cross, Satan thinks that he's won the battle. And we're in a battle. And we have to understand that we're in a spiritual battle. And Satan thinks that he's won because the only begotten Son of God is on the cross, bleeding out, waiting to die on the cross. And yet he will die, and 3 days later he will resurrect, and the bruising effect of Satan's head spiritually takes place. Now I want you to look at Galatians 4 and then verse 4 as it relates to the fulfillment of that promise. One of the historical factors that proves that promise was fulfilled is the way Paul explains it in Galatians 4 verse 4. When he says, in the fullness of the time, when it came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, so that we could become sons of God, heirs, according to the fulfillment of that promise. Again, Galatians 3, 26 through 29 explains the methodology, how you become. You have to be baptized into Christ because he's come. And I want you yet to notice in Galatians 4 verse 4, the fulfillment of that promise by the means of time, in the fullness of time. It did not happen by accident. Even today, 2,000 years removed, when Christ came into this world, it did not happen by accident. So what does that mean? It means that when he returns to take his sons and daughters back to heaven, it will not be by accident or a mistaken amount of time. He's coming at the right time, and he's coming when he's ready to come. Now, I want you to look at the book of Jude for just a moment, because as both Ryan and Royce stated in principle about how we've got to look forward to 2025. And that's really what this is a good time for us to do, is to talk about that for just a brief moment. Look at the way the book in the Bible, the book of Jude, one chapter, a short book, before the Bible closes out. The book of Revelation will close us out, stating that the battle's been won, the victory's ours. That's basically the whole message of the book of Revelation. But Jude tells us something that basically Ryan and Royce both pointed out from Philippians and the book of Joshua. But Jude says it this way, and I want you to notice it. In verse 3, he says, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, I'll just stop right there, because I'm going to ask you later for your Bible study to read the rest of this chapter, the rest of this book. But that verse in verse 3 tells us exactly what we are going to have to do. And we've been doing it for 2,000 years since Christ came. When Jude writes that, he says there are some bad things happening in the world. There have been bad things happening for 2,000 years in the world. There have been apostates arise, false religion, various things. And he gives us the key of how we're going to overcome. He says, I wrote it. It's in the Bible. It's right here. And here's what you're going to have to do. Earnestly contend for the faith. The word contend there is the word in the English language, agonize. Agonize. It comes from the Greek word agonizomai, I think is the way it's transliterated. We can transliterate that Greek word, contend, into another English word, agonize, and that's what Jude was saying. It is an agonizing event sometimes when we are contending, as he says, or agonizing for the faith that was once for all delivered then. You know, that's our life. That's our life. But you know what God did when he built the church and why we're here on a Wednesday night on a day called Christmas that the world probably is not assembling with their church family? He gave us the church to bless us, to give us a family, to help us in that agony, to help us in that contending for the faith. And so that's all I'm going to say to you. I want you to understand that our life will always be about agonizing, but it's because of you, my church family, that I can do this a lot easier. I'm reading the same book with you. I'm studying it. I'm thinking about it. I'm talking about it with you. I'm making application in my life every day. And each and every one of us are going to go out in 2025 and we're going to keep on doing the same thing. Because why? We're trying to help people. We're trying to help people see that there's a better way to live. So read the rest of the book of Jude. And as I thought about this message, let us contend or agonize and realize it's a part of our life. Whereas some that agonize in the world and they have no hope, the Bible says, Paul writes about that to the first Thessalonian brethren, guess what? You and I, as we agonize, we have hope. We know why we're doing this. So I'm going to end with that. And I hope that you will come back, because we're going to do this again or similarly next Wednesday, New Year's 2025. And we're going to enjoy a new year together. And I, again, appreciate you being here so much.